one of the things we talk about in Integral is a second-person reality. And you see this in the East and West. Of course, in the West, it's this loving being that sees me, which is a little bit of a stretch in terms of the being and all of that sort of thing. But even in the East, you see things like Buddha nature, that there's a loving intelligence to our reality that is still insubstantial and ineffable, but nevertheless an irreducible dimension of reality. In other words, to put it really simply, does reality see you and love you, Michael, personally?
Yeah, this is a really important issue. So let me just share, and this is not attempting to try to claim that this is the truth, this is the only or even the best way to see it, but this is the way that Connie and I see reality, and so I'll simply articulate it from the perspective of here's what really serves our lives. This is our best way of understanding the nature of our inner nature and our outer nature from an evidential, from a sacred science and sacred evidential perspective. Our brains are inherently personifying because we are relational creatures. There's a huge part of our brain that's totally about relationships, and we can't not relate. And so we naturally personify. So we personify, you know, I mean, all gods and goddesses are personifications, not persons. There's no exception to that. You know, the Poseidon was the personification of the oceans, not the spirit of the ocean or the god of the oceans. It was a personification of the incomprehensibly powerful and capricious seas, and so on. I could give countless examples. When I think of how I relate, how I choose to relate, what gives me life to relate to, like, reality as a whole, call it the universe, call it nature, call it whatever. Do I believe that nature loves me? Or do I believe the universe loves me? Or do I believe God loves me? I can use those terms synonymously. From an objective standpoint, from a day language standpoint, from a factual truth standpoint, I don't think I could successfully make the claim that the universe loves me. I mean, I think the universe would just kill me. But from a subjective standpoint...
It could kill you and still love you, Michael.
Well, let me finish. From a subjective standpoint, from a night language, from an interpretive perspective, from a practical truth perspective, I can say with 100% certainty that there is no more inspiring way to live my life than to act as if the universe is conspiring in my behalf, that God loves me, reality loves me, nature loves me.
Yeah.
So that's why I value both of these, because no, I don't think objectively that's true. And I know subjectively it's the most useful way to live. So do you think I live my life as if the universe is conspiring on my behalf? You bet your ass I do, and I teach my kids that. And I teach everyone this, you know, that'll listen to me. So that's why I say I value both, but I don't try to make a metaphysical claim that nature really has a consciousness like mine and nature is singling me out, because that forces me into all kinds of conundrums. You know, like the problem of evil that traditional Western religion has struggled with, you know, if God is all-powerful and all-knowing, and, you know, all that stuff just evaporates when you realize that we personify reality, it's useful to do it. And here's the interesting thing. From an evolutionary perspective, individuals that believe that God was on their side, that God was for them, that reality was for them, individuals that believe that would have overcome obstacles easier, they would have overcome difficulty, you know, it would have been evolutionarily selected for at the individual level. But collectively, same thing. Cultures, groups, tribes that believed that God was on our side would outcompete tribes of atheists who thought there was no God, and so all the atheists would have been wiped out. So both from a personal individual selection standpoint and a group selection standpoint, the belief that reality is for me, reality is on my side, God loves me, reality, you know, nature loves me, would have been selected for. So I value both. I value that, you know, when an airplane crashes and one person survives, it is almost impossible for that person to not have the thought that they were individually selected out, and it's often very powerfully life-giving. They live their, it's kind of like near-death experiences. Somebody has a near-death experience, they almost die, and then they're given their life back again. They experience it as a gift. So naturally, they stop doing all the addictive shit they were doing. They start serving others and being a blessing to others, and it's life-changing. You bet it's life-changing. But that doesn't require me to then go on to say that there's an otherworldly father. You know, in other words, I don't have to say that, but somebody who does want to believe that, you're not going to catch me arguing with them if as I said before, if they are committed to a healthy future for all of us, and if they value an evidential worldview from sort of a sacred or an inspiring perspective.